All right, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
All right. Let's go to our little child so to say,
yes, Mr. Park, I'm doing good, Mr. Park.
Thank you. You got to get to that inner child every now and then, bring it out, you know. We're going to continue on Right Teaching, Right Learning, which is on page 53 in the text. And we were using this. One thing about with the Course in Miracles is that it really can be applied to so many different things, because it says you can apply the truth to any situation. So when we're talking about right teaching, right learning, it's always also talking about our relationships. And what I want to do is read. Okay, let me set it up right quick. Your ego. Your ego is who you think you are. The ego is the self that you made up yourself to be. The ego is the self that you made up. The ego is the part of you that's sitting in the chair that thinks it's a person that has a story. Okay, the ego is the part of you that's sitting in the chair, has a story, thinks it's its personality. Okay, that's really important, because sometimes we go, oh yeah, ego, I kind of got that. But the truth is, we don't have that at all. We very much still identify with our separate identity, with our personality self. But the personality self, the old thought system, is the cause of pain. The reason why we go through pain, the Course says, is because of what we've learned. And we've learned how to look at things in such a way that's unnatural to us, but we don't know it. So people are experiencing the pain, and they attribute the pain to some outside situation or circumstance, which is what the world teaches us, which is the erroneous way. And then the truth is, it's being created by the meanings that we're giving everything that's happening to us. That's what's really causing the pain, is the meaning that you're giving, not the situation. So when we talk about the ego, we're talking about the way that we are programmed to think of ourselves as being. So when I say that, it makes sense when I read through this paragraph that says, paragraph 3, we need the first two. Spirit need not be taught, but the ego must be. 53. Spirit need not be taught, but the ego must be taught. Learning is ultimately perceived as frightening, because learning leads to the relinquishment, but not the destruction, of the ego to the light of spirit. This is the change the ego must fear, because the ego does not share my charity. My lesson was like yours, and because I learned it, I can teach it. I will never attack your ego, but I'm trying to teach you how his thought system arose. When I remind you of your true creation, your ego cannot but respond with fear. That I is Jesus, that I is the Christ consciousness, that I is love, that I is your inner teacher. If you got a hard time with the word Jesus, use something else. Never let the word block you from the gift. And that's what people do a lot. They get hung up on words that they don't give themselves the gift of what the words are saying. So the Course is nothing but a series of universal laws that if you apply these rules, it always works. So let's go back through it with that perspective. Okay, spirit doesn't have to be taught, but the ego must be. We don't have to teach God anything, but the self we made up needs to be taught. The self we think we are needs to be taught. The reason why we see learning as frightening is because when you learn the truth that we're learning right now, you're going to relinquish the self that you think you are to the light of spirit. So the self that you think you are is going to be relinquished to your real self. And that's why your old self sees learning as frightening. That's why so much resistance. We say, I want to learn, but I'm feeling a lot of resistance. The resistance is coming from your old self that's built up of old beliefs, and it doesn't want to let those old beliefs go. So learning means change. So when you start to learn, it frightens your ego. So to think that you're going to really learn and not go through disorientation, confusion, and fear is an unrealistic approach to learning. And so what gives most people a challenge when they're learning is that they expect to learn in peace. It's an error. You don't learn in peace, really, until you realize that going through disorientation is a part of learning. Then you're not freaking out about not always feeling good. And then you do have more peace, because you're actually going, well, you know, it's like you're getting ready to take a test and you know that it's going to represent a certain, well, a better analogy would be taking a flight. You know, you're going to have to go through that whole airport rigmarole. So you go ahead and make up your mind that you're going to go through it before you even go down there. So even though you're standing up there, you're not as freaked out if you had expected to go like that, even though sometimes it does. You see what I'm saying? So that's what the course, to me, that's what the course is saying, the same thing. That if you're really learning, your old self is going to be frightened by that because your old self knows it's going to be relinquished, that you're going to let that go. And you're going to start letting your real self guide you. Then it says, so the next sentence, this is the change the ego must fear because the ego doesn't share my charity. My lesson was like yours, and because I learned that I can teach it. This is a cruel part. I will never attack your ego. God will never attack our ego. The truth will never attack our ego. Our higher self is not trying to get rid of our ego. It's not trying to attack our ego. So whenever you say stuff like, I can't get rid of my ego, or you approach your ego like that, that's really your ego making itself stronger. Because spirit would never say, I got to get rid of my ego. That's always your ego saying that. Because the Course says, I will never attack your ego. I will never attack the self that you think you are. I never attack the self that you think you are. I'll never attack the life that you think you've made. I'll never attack. I'm spirit. I will never attack. I am spirit. I never attack. See the difference? So I certainly wouldn't attack your ego because I don't attack, period. So all that attack and I got to fight my ego and my ego, that's all the ego trying to make itself stronger. God's not caught up in any of that. It's not ever you, it's not ever your spiritual self that gets upset with your spiritual progress. Your spiritual self couldn't get upset with your spiritual progress. That's your ego getting upset with your ego. So we have a tendency to think it can be my same spiritual self battling with my self that's not so cool. And the Course would say, nah, your spiritual self doesn't battle. Your spiritual self doesn't fight, it doesn't condense, it doesn't force. That's always your ego fighting with your ego. That's your ego's idea of being a spiritual person, battling with your ego's idea of being a not-so-spiritual person. Both of them are just two sides of the same coin. It's like you pick your coin, the heads and tails. That's all the good ego is nothing but the head, and the ego that's all bad that you're trying to do something with, that's the tail. That's the tail. Neither one of them are you. Because your real self would never attack you or put you down because you are not as spiritual or as sweet or as kind or as nice. So that's always your idealized ego fighting with its own self. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yeah.
And just keep that in mind. There's no such thing as you being in conflict with your ego. There's your ego being in conflict with your ego. And when you start seeing it that way, it transforms your whole perception of learning. It makes it so much easier. You know, what's that part of me that's saying, I'm not doing this good enough, I'll never get it, because I really want to be a loving person? That's not my spiritual self saying that. Because my spiritual self is loving. It's just like the sun getting mad because it's not hot. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to be hot one day. You know what I mean? It's like, that's crazy. The sun is hot, so why would it even get caught up in the whole thing? So the part of you that's always trying to be spiritual is really your ego.
So us being split-minded actually is the ego being split-minded.
Right, right.
Spirit is
in total harmony and peace, and then we have a mind, and then we've divided it up into what we think of as the love and the fear part, but the fear part really isn't real. It's just something we're making up that we're telling ourselves that seems real because it generates an emotional reaction, and so we have a tendency to believe if I feel something, it's got to be true. You know, if I feel it, it's got to be real. So feelings can be a great way to deceive yourself about the truth of something.
Well, then that's when we need to ask for another way to look at it.
Which we've been given 1,122 pages of. But it's amazing how people say, well, I don't know another way to look at it. What it really means, I can't make up another way to look at it.
Within the split ego.
Within the split ego mind. So, you know, it's like I can't make up. People say they're spiritual, but they go to their own wisdom. And so they're really not doing anything but reinforcing their own beliefs. Being spiritual doesn't mean, I said, I give this to God. That doesn't really work if your concept of God is wrong. You know what I mean? It's like
you gave it to a different person.
Yeah, you just gave it to a
thought of God.
There you go. You just applied the same old concepts that don't work to a made up God that you think you're praying to.
because there's no way you could really be praying to God correctly. By correctly, I mean in a way that would allow it to happen for you, and you not get the result. It just doesn't go together. If I'm not getting the result, I must not be seeing something correctly. Just that simple. I can't be doing it right and everything going wrong. But I used to think that way. So I walk around feeling like a victim all day because I'm doing everything right and I'm so loving and I'm so good. And, you know, I gave a person on the corner $1 yesterday and I'm really spiritual. And my life isn't going right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, if you're really applying the principles, all you feel is gratitude. You know, because you're seeing blessings all around you. It's that simple.
And that's salvation.
That's salvation.
That's clear. That's miracles.
That's right. That's what salvation. That's what miracles are. It's clear perception. It's seeing it correctly. It's letting go of the concepts that we've learned. He says salvation is forgiveness. That the both terms are synonymous. It's also you can substitute the term healing where you see salvation. Like if I came, one lesson is I came for the salvation of the world, mm-hmm. would be I came for the healing of the world. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I came for, he said salvation is the escape from concepts. So I came for the escape from concepts of the world. Okay. I see, it's like when you use the definitions, it gives, of course, a whole other power. Like to say, I came for the salvation of the world. Okay, you're going to put all your definitions about what you think salvation is, and if you have a religious background that you kind of overcome, you're probably feeling self-conscious about even saying the word salvation. And the Course is saying that all it means is healing, right-mindedness, and escape from concepts. So then you just go back and say, I came for the escape of concepts of the world. I came for the healing of the world. I came for the right-mindedness. And so when you use these definitions, it really makes a difference. You find your resistance will go floop. Like when I said, I came for the healing of the world, that was easy to hear. So you wonder, well, why didn't it just write, I came for the healing of the world? Because, well, how would that give you a new interpretation of the word salvation?
You had to learn that really meant healing.
You had to learn that really meant healing. That's why people got this problem sometimes. I heard about it, but many people have a problem with the terminology of the Course, and they don't realize that even the terminology of the Course has a healing purpose.
Okay, but for you to be able to pray to the right God and to be connected,
mm-hmm.
you have to apply it and know it's in you.
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Yeah, it's like for me to start my car up, I've got to put my key in the ignition. It's not going to happen by me putting it in the gas tank. So I don't care how many different cars I get, if I try to do it that way, it's not going to work. So if I think I'm communicating to God, yet I have a fear of God, or I have a sense of guilt and separation, and I'm not enough, and all this stuff, then you're not really praying to God. You're praying to a fearful image that you've made up, and then you're wondering why the fearful image doesn't come through. And then, of course, then people say, well, why doesn't God just come through anyway? Whether I say it right or not. Well, God is, but you just don't recognize it when your perception is incorrect. So you're getting the answer. I'm getting the answer every day. We get it every time we come together, but we don't act on it. So we are being answered. Now, are we using the answer? That's a whole different ballgame. But we are being answered. We were answered in this and many other paths. We've been answered over and over and over and over and over again. But will I do it? Will I do what? Will I realize that learning is going to be frightening to me because it means I'm going to have to give up my old self to my new self? Will I remember that there's no such thing as spirit needing to be taught, but I need to teach my ego? What's my ego? The self that I think I am. Well, the self that I think I am is listening to this right now. So the self I think I am, I'm teaching it right now. Because the self I think I am is sitting here listening to this right now. I need to remember God would never attack who I think I am. So there's no need for me to be afraid that spirit is going to attack even who I think I am in the world that I've made for myself. Remember that, he says, I will never attack your ego, but I'm trying to teach you how its thought system arose. So I'm not attacking the you that you think you are. I'm just trying to show you how your way of thinking came about. Okay? Then it goes, now this is really powerful. When I remind you of your true creation, your ego cannot but respond with fear. Notice he repeated it again. First he said, it's learning is frightening to the ego. Then at the end he turned around and said, when I remind you of your true creation, your ego can't but respond to fear. So that explains to me why when I read the Course to people or when I'm studying the Course, then I watch people respond more to the Course with fear than they do with feeling relieved. And most beginners with the Course, it's like they're almost listening with the attitude of, how can I find the flaws in what I'm hearing? You can tell that it's not about getting excited about the truth. It's really about where can I find something in what he's saying to disagree with and how that doesn't sound right to me. Because he just said, when I remind you of your true creation as a child of God, as being loved, as being unlimited, as not being a victim, as being a creator, as nothing that's happening around you is something that you did not create, well, your self that thinks it's the victim, it's got to respond with fear, because everything you're hearing is the opposite to what the victim you believes. So there's the two yous. There's the responsible you and the victim you. Both of them are listening all the time to whatever's being said. The victim you certainly isn't going to like anything that says you're responsible. So you are responsible. You are powerful. So when I say that to you, your victim self, that which is the part that has the grievance, in case you're wondering, that self isn't going to like it. Because the grievance is coming from believing it's somebody else's fault. Okay, so I finished that paragraph. Any comments, any questions? Wednesday, I welcome discussion or clarification questions. Turn me on.
So the miracle is really that we're here right now. Enjoy.
It's a miracle anytime anybody walks through that door. I'm always going. Some of you have been around for a long time. I tell people, I have a 0 to 40 people consciousness. And no matter what, that's my... I can go anywhere. I can travel around the country. I can do anything. I don't care. If everybody's come to my class, tried to come at the same time, you couldn't even get people nowhere in this building. Just in the last year, you'd be shocked at how many people actually come through this class and that I never see again. And then Spirit reminded me, said, you know, you got to flow through ministry. You know, you got to flow through ministry, you know, and make that okay. You can't judge by numbers. You know, So my point in saying that is that we have all these pictures about what it's supposed to look like, and so we don't let it happen the way it can naturally happen, which is, you know, which is a trip. But yeah, if we could accept that that's a part of us that's going to be disoriented and afraid because what it's hearing is the opposite of what it believes, then we won't freak out so much when it happens. And every time you're blaming somebody else, every single time, if you leave here and as soon as you go, somebody else is the problem, you're unconscious. You've gone unconscious. I don't care how justified you feel. I don't care how much it looks like they're the problem. Every time you say that, you go unconscious. There's not no time you can say that that's not coming out of unconsciousness. And so when you go into your split mind and you leave out, there may be a temptation to talk about everybody around you and how they need to get their act together. There's another chair right behind that door. Right there, right in front of you. Door right in front of you. Yes. And so, so those are the quickest, easy ways to spot your ego, because sometimes our ego convinces us that it's hard to tell when it's our ego. I have people say that, well, how can you tell when it's your ego? Well, how do you feel? I feel like crap. Well, that's your ego. I'm afraid. That's my ego. I'm lonely. That's my ego. I'm trying to get something I can't have. That's my ego. I think I'm going to die. That's my ego. I'm afraid. You know what I'm saying? It's not complicated at all.
Spirit wouldn't give you that.
Spirit wouldn't do that. So every time you try to act like I'm trying to figure out whether it's spirit or whether it's God, I'm trying to make this decision about my job. Is this God telling me to quit, or is this my ego telling me to quit? Is your ego telling me to quit? Because you asked it. And you should ask, but I'm just saying that the fact that you're in fear around it means that it's probably your idea, because if it really was coming from the infinite creative force of the universe, I don't think you'd be afraid. If you were sure that what you wanted to do was in alignment with yourself, it's aligned with Jesus says in there, before you do anything, ask me if what you're about to do is in accord with me. That's what you do with your higher self. He says if it is, there would be no fear. If you really checked in with yourself and it's really what yourself wants to do, you won't be afraid. And so I went, ooh, that just pretty much explains everything about most of my desires. They're coming from my ego, because I'm always questioning them. Should I go out with them? I don't know. Yeah. Should I take the job? I don't know. You know, all that's okay, then I'm not in alignment with myself. Or else I would go, yeah, this is what I need to do right now. Like when it was time for me to go out in the world and teach the course on a donation basis, which is what I was told to do, with two children in junior high school and child support and all that other good stuff that goes with being in love. So that took a lot of chutzpah. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I didn't do it because I was doing it for my own courage. I was doing it because I knew in my gut that it was time for me to do that and it was going to be okay for me to do it. It wasn't coming from, oh my God, I'm wondering what's going to happen if I don't have a regular check coming in. Of course, those thoughts will come up. But they did not have any effect on my knowing this. It was time for me to do this. And I haven't looked back, and it's been 23 years ago. So I've done what I wanted to do every day for 23 years. And the only difference I see between me and people who don't is that they don't do the spiritual work. They just want the benefit, but they don't want to do the work. They want to say stuff like, oh, I gave it to the Holy Spirit. And then they expect everything to happen. But what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? When you say, I gave it to the Holy Spirit. Have you corrected your thinking? Have you forgiven? Are you seeing people as one with you? Do you see yourself as having the purpose of peace when you go into a situation? Are you taking responsibility for what you create? Well, no. Well, that's a hell of a lot more than just saying, I gave it to the Holy Spirit. Because giving it to the Holy Spirit would mean you were doing those things. Because that's what the Holy Spirit told you to do. So giving it to the Holy Spirit, wouldn't that be obeying the Holy Spirit? And wouldn't obeying the Holy Spirit of the higher self be doing what it says? And if you do what it says, then you get the result. So obeying the Holy Spirit doesn't mean, it's not words. It's like, am I applying the ideas?
It's not just dumping your problems.
It's not just dumping. Yeah, right, exactly. Especially dumping from a level of, you've been totally unfaithful for 29 years. And then all of a sudden you're in a crisis and you expect the whole universe to come to to come to your rescue. Though you've invested nothing in your consciousness whatsoever. Right? The Course says, the reason why you practice when you're not in crisis is so that if you create a crisis, your mind will already be programmed to go in that direction. You know, so like when I took karate, you know, they took you to all these different forms that you would do. The purpose of it was to get to the point that you wouldn't think about it. Like if you had to defend yourself, you just go through that move without even thinking about it. And that's the way the Course has become to me. It's like Course Roddy. And I'm the master of Course Roddy, and I'm looking for some new students now. But the students I got, which are my teachers, by the way, the students I have, which are my teachers, by the way, are perfect. You're off the hook. And then you're cute. So, so it's easy to talk to you, and then I like to look at you. I like that, too. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's not. I don't hate the fact that most of the women come to truth classes. I think it's beautiful.
So when we come to a point where we realize the mess that's in front of us was created by us, that's sort of our ego saying, you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we also take that next step and say, you just sort of like feel this presence say, it's okay, we can let this go. And you ask those questions, is there another way?
There you
go. How
can
I look at this? Mm-hmm. And then you begin to hear that answer instead of, you have really screwed your life up.
Right.
When you begin to hear that other answer of, guess what, it's going to be okay, you have everything you need, there is another way. Is that like you sort of transmuted that?
Absolutely.
Into paying more attention to spirit?
Yeah, if you can stop and go, there's another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? Just to do that, you had to come into your Christ self. You had to come. You don't even go, because when a person is upset, it's like Eckhart was saying on this class, when a person is upset, they're not present.
It's their pain body.
Right, it's their pain body. It's their ego in front of you. So, I mean, you can talk to a person that's ridiculously upset and insane if you want to, because it may be reminding you of something you need to hear. Because that's what I do. Like when I'm telling somebody something, I'm really saying what I need to be reminded of. Not that I think they're going to get it, obey it, listen to it, or anything else. But which used to hurt my feelings, because I would give this priceless advice to people who would follow. Sometimes they didn't even pay for it, which is really weird. But I realized that I was always receiving everything I was saying. So I always increase my own belief every time I talk, every time I teach. So that now when some crisis comes up, I notice that those thoughts come back to me now instead of the other thoughts. There's a whole process that I go through. Like I got here Sunday, 5 minutes before class, I realized my wallet was missing. And I didn't realize how much of my identity was in my wallet until I thought about it, what was all in there. It was right before class. And it was like, oh, man, like, that could blow your energy for a class real quick. And I had had an incredible week. I mean, the week was just off, what I call it off the hook. Okay. And in the course, we have a tendency when we still have some guilt in our mind to believe you have to pay for pleasure with pain. So every time you really have a good time, you have to follow it up with some crap to balance it out, to pay for what you just did. You know, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's why right after the party that you drank too much and danced on top of the table naked, the next day you got the hangover. Yeah, because that's the pain and the guilt to pay for that moment of spontaneous joy that I hate I missed. And so that's what we do all the time. That's why, you know, you have a really good day, then you have a bad day, or you have a really good relationship, and then right after that something happens. You know, the course is what we're doing, because we've been taught by the world to, you know, that, you know, to a certain degree you have to earn your pleasure, you have to pay for your pleasure. Then whenever we have a real something that's going good, we follow it up with some ego stuff. So the first thing that hit me when the wallet was, I said, I said, this is a reflection of my belief that I have to pay for the pleasure I had last week with some type of pain. That was the first thing I had to do. I had to tell the truth about it. The next thing that came in, and like I said, you know, it was frightening to a part of my mind what was going on, you know, because my ego projected the hassle of the week. You know, when, you know, it's like, let me show you what one probable reality you could tune in this week is going to be about. The DMV. How about that? And then calling the credit card. Go, what about that? And, you know what I'm saying? It's like it just, boop, 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 boop. And my ego was having a buffet. It was like, blah, 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 blah. You know, but, you know. So, but I really went through this process. This is the way I feel. I'm afraid about this. I don't like this. I don't pretend that I'm not going to jump to immediate positive. Well, it's for my own best interest. It's like, no, right now, I hate like hell that my wallet might be missing. I don't want to have to go through replacing my driver's license and my credit cards. I didn't go to, it's just an illusion. Because then you're just dabbing. Because if you really thought it was an illusion, you would never get upset. So this, you know, I wouldn't have lost it. So that was the first thing I did. Next thing the Holy Spirit told me from the course was, one of my favorite lines says it doesn't make any sense to get angry at a fact. And I went, what? It doesn't make sense to get angry. It's a fact, right? In this moment, there is no wallet. So that's a fact in this moment. So getting angry about that is not serving any useful purpose for you. Go ahead and express it, but just be clear that it's not going to change anything, and you got a class to teach. Okay. So you know the whole trick of this whole thing is to get you to turn away from me, turn away from the truth, turn away from me, God, and so what you do is you focus in on your lesson today more than you ever have. You got to teach your ego that every time it messes with you, you're going to God. You're going to truth. You're going to love. Because that's what your ego doesn't want you to do. It doesn't want you to go to the new thought system. So it's trying to give you a problem so that you will forget the new thought system, go back to the way you were taught in the world, and go back to the old thought system again. So that was the next thought came. Okay, so then I had to teach that day with more commitment and more dedication and more focus than usual, and it turned out to be one of the best classes I've ever done. Then afterwards, I realized that in that moment, there had not been the case wasn't closed yet. It wasn't like I knew I would never see my wallet again. I knew what I call all possibilities were still there. So I knew there was a possibility for a probable reality where I did not ever find it again, and I knew it was one where I did. I knew that both of these existed. So what you do is you take it all the way to the end in both directions. You're not in denial, so I go, all right, if I never see my wallet again, let me just take a minute and breathe and look at what I'll have to do. And that's what I did, okay? I got to call these. I went through the whole thing in my mind. That's what I would have to do. Now, just by doing that, I took a lot of the charge off of it. Just by doing that. Just by looking at it head on. Okay, I'm going to take responsibility. I might have to go through all this stuff next week. I just might have to go through all this stuff next week. That just might be happening if I never see my wallet again. That's one probable reality. And this is true with any situation that you go through when you haven't dealt with the final result yet. So there's a reality where I found it, and there's a reality where I didn't find it. Okay? Neither one of them were manifested yet. So I had to look at the one where I didn't find it clearly, and then I chose for the one that I did find it. I said, there is an Earl that absolutely finds this wallet. You know, and at this moment, I could tune into either one of those Earls. I could tune into the Earl that never finds it because this hasn't been settled yet. But I need to tell myself the truth about it first. The truth about it is, this is an attempt to take away my joy and take away my peace by my ego just because I had a really good time, to convince me that the truth isn't true, to distract me from my purpose and my goal. That's what it's really about, ultimately. And I'm getting a chance to say how attached I am to it. And Spirit is also giving me a chance to, the next time, remember that, you know, make some copies of all the stuff that's in there, so make it really quick if you have to do it at the level. You know, make the world easier for you, too. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, you have one of those registration things through your credit card that you pay for, that you never registered your cards. So anyway, so I did that. I told a few people about what was going on, but I only told the people about it who I felt would put some positive energy on it, not people who would be worried and concerned in a way that just puts more fear on it. Mm-hmm. So be very cautious about who you tell what's upsetting you. You don't want to tell anybody that's going to make it real, that's going to ultimately make it real. That's what your ego wants them to do, but they won't make it real. They're like, oh, okay, there's another way to look at it. It's possible that, you know, that it's going to show up. They're going to look at it from a perspective, not from a ridiculously fearful perspective. So I went through the whole thing of, at least I can decide I don't like the way I feel right now, so I hope I'm wrong about believing that the wallet is gone. I want another way to look at this. Perhaps there's another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? I want another way to look at this. Okay. Then I promptly went home and found it in a place I had already looked. Literally. A place that I had already looked. Yeah. Just happened to appear. Okay, now, how many people go through a similar process when something is upsetting them or when something is missing? I don't know many. Do you? No, it's usually just, I'm mad, I'm upset, and I hope it shows up. So that's what I mean. It's a difference between practicing the truth and just reading it and philosophizing about it and talking about it, you know. Now, if I had not found it, then since I had taken responsibility and I had accepted that I would do whatever was necessary to be done, then even if I hadn't found it, I would have still been upset. I would have made myself upset. But at the same time, it wouldn't have been nearly what it would have been had I not looked at it and taken responsibility for it. So at the very least, I would have had more peace about it. You follow me? So that's like a little quick example of the practical application of the course. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, do I do that? Do I go to my teachings when I get upset, or do I just revert back to my ego state of the way the world look at it? That low down so-and-so, let me go out here and see if I can't fix it on the outer, let me see what I need to change. It's like, I got to call the bank and get this straightened out. Don't you call the bank until you admit to yourself that was a defense against the truth. This is just something to trick you into thinking you can't have the peace of God. Tell yourself the truth about it first, then call the bank. But don't treat it like the bank is the problem. Then you're just going to recreate it in another form. And it'll just be something else the next minute. You know, the Course says if a problem is really solved, it doesn't show up in any form again. If the problem isn't really solved, it just keeps changing appearance. So today is my health, tomorrow is my money, day after that is my relationship, then it's my car. If you're one of those people, you're never dealing with the real issue. You're always dealing with the effect of the real issue. And so it never gets solved. Yeah.
Did anybody you told laugh? I keep thinking about the fact that you have friends that are supposed to laugh when you tell them about it.
No, no one laughed, and I didn't ask them to.
Okay.
And the laughter people, that's like another level.
Okay.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about that.
Yeah.
Going, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. The laughter people can laugh. They already know how to laugh, but it's not laughing at you.
Yeah.
It's like laughing at the fact that it's not real, it's not going to happen, you know. And frankly, you know, I was the Holy Spirit doing it perfectly. I wasn't in the mood to be here to laugh right at that particular moment. So the laugh people show up when I'm in the mood for the laugh people, you know. And I'm not always in the mood for the laugh people, you know. That's not it, you know. Okay. Anybody else have any questions about that paragraph or anything that I've said before we go to the next one? With the Course, you only need one thing that you apply all the time to lead you into all of it. So if you were to take one thing you heard me say in that paragraph and live it every day, it would transform your whole life whether you read anything else in the book. But it's got so many juicy ideas that I just, you know, I'm reading it over again now, just about finished with it.
So negative thoughts and questioning yourself is your ego.
Yes.
Period.
So then once you get that, you don't take it as seriously.
Right.
That's what I like about it. It's like now it's like if I'm mad, okay, so I'm mad, big deal. That's my call for love. But when I'm in it, I'm in it now. It doesn't mean I don't feel it. I do feel it. I'm like, you know. But it just can't quite get the juice if you take the guilt out of it. It's going to fade away if you take the guilt out of it. It's going to peter out. You're going to find stuff's going to happen. You're going to muster your amazement. You're not bothered at all. And it shocks you because you notice your reactions on what your reactions used to be. Something that would have freaked you out, somebody did, and then you didn't even pay attention. And that had a bigger effect on the people around you than anything you could have said, because they would have never seen somebody react like that. So they like checking you out just because you didn't react. So you affected people when you don't even know it, because you can't really change your mind and then it not affect your behavior even when you don't know it. So even when you think you're being normal and you like hiding your metaphysical fault and not letting people know what you're about, you're not, because there's something that something about your behavior as a result of what you believe that's making you act different than other people act, even if you don't say anything. So you're not as invisible as you think you are to the people around you in terms of your change. They're noticing something is up, and they might ask you, "What you got a little bit of a, you know, stuff about you. Not quite the way it used to be. What's going on?" That's the person that you know you can share with. You can let them have it. All right. Yeah.
So to solve
the
problem, it's the bottom line to not believe that you're separate.
Right. That's what I meant when I said that there was a reality where Earl had it in the reality. I'm still connected to it. I wasn't separate from it. What you don't know, and this is very metaphysical, very abstract, but I'm going to say it anyway. Any you that you can think of exists somewhere in the universe. Any you that you can think of exists. You just don't see it because it's on another channel. Like the you that never got married, that person is living a life right now. The you that had children, the you that didn't have children. The you that became a president of a company, the you that never did. The you that's rich lives right now parallel with the you that thinks it's poor. The you that wishes it had a relationship, there is a reality where you do have one. Because you can't have any concept or idea as a child of God that does not manifest in some form or fashion. Okay? So, if that is indeed true, then the thing that's blocking your happiness is your focus. You know what I mean? If I want to see something on Channel 6, the only thing that's blocking it is I need to focus on Channel 6, which the remote control allows me to do. So the Course is like the ultimate remote control in that sense. It's like there is a reality in which you, the Course, and let me just cover the whole thing for you. There's a reality in which you have no guilt and you have no belief in separation. If you have no belief in separation, that's the reality that you're in absolute bliss in, and we'll call that the real world. He says, so instead of trying to figure out the form of your experience, all the things you'd like to have, if you were to spend all that energy focusing on your innocence and your sinlessness and your guiltlessness, that would transform your reality quicker than anything that you could focus on in form. Because a reality that you don't feel guilty in is a reality where you don't attack yourself in or hurt yourself in. Okay, so the Course turned around and said, well, basically this reality that we perceive is a reality that's based on the idea of guilt and sin and separation. And so we're in a probable experience. But what we experience in terms of the pain, the attack, the disease, all that stuff that we go through here, he says that's because this reality is based on the idea of separation and guilt and grievances. And when you have that as a core belief, this is the world that you live in. A world that you're happy sometimes, not happy sometimes. If you're safe sometimes, not safe sometimes. So if you want to go to another world, you don't try to fix the one that you're in. That's the old paradigm. It's not about repairing this place. It's about packing your bags of consciousness and moving to another state of mind. And then that state of mind create another physical reality for you that will look like this one to a large degree, except that you notice one thing that's different about it. It's full of more and more love and peace and joy. So the content will be different, and then the form will eventually change too. You'll be in a totally different physical experience. And so while you're making that transition, you still sometimes run into your old selves. and the people related to that, and then you also start meeting. It's such what's happening to me right now. It's like I'm like totally like divided between two worlds that look like two worlds, because some people that I'm meeting are just completely in this other thought system of unity and oneness, which creates an entirely different behavior pattern. I mean, so I'm still the parts of myself to still think they're little separate people out here trying to make it as best they can, but they're nice, because I attract nice people. So even though they're going through hell, they're really sweet. And that's my two realities, but now it's moving more and more and more into the other one, the newer one. But the other one still pops up. And that's what, and of course it's going to pop up sporadically as you begin to change. It's going to look like you're having this great period of time, things are going great for several days, and then, boop, something comes up, completely unexpected, that takes you for a loop. He says that's going to happen as you make the change, because you still have some unresolved, unhealed thoughts that still pop up some fearful results. But you know that you're changing, he says, because it'll happen more sporadically. Where it used to be all day long, it was something going on that was making you unhappy in some kind of way, and something was bugging you. Now it would be, I had a bad Thursday. Or I had a bad Friday morning. See what I mean? That's different than my whole week sucks. Okay, and then it says, so it'll pop up unexpectedly, because you're not, if you're still here, you haven't completely healed yet. So don't be shocked with some of the residue of the way you used to be still manifest. Especially in relationships. They'll sometimes show up as new relationship opportunities. And you'll know that they're just presenting you with another opportunity to see if you're going to go right back to the same kind of person in the relationship you used to go through, or you're going to choose for something different. You'd be amazed at the draw of the old way, because it seems familiar. So the new person will show up, and your ego will respond to them the same way it responds to change. It's like, you're too nice. But you're too nice. I can't respond to you. You're too nice. So the person who really couldn't love you really good, they'll just make you a friend. That's cool. They'll just see you as the friend. You become the friend. You meet a guy, you'll be all turned on, and he'll say, well, let's just be friends. Why? Because I'm going to spare you the hell of being my girl. Why? Because I like you. You're too nice. I like drama women. While pretending that I want peaceful women, I get turned on by the drama. I get turned on by what's not available. I get turned on by what criticizes me. I get turned on by what's not enough. I'm sorry, I'm in my ego. You're available, you're kind, you're loving, and you're respectful. You're going to be my friend. Because there's no juice here. You do not get my juices flowing. Why? Because you're too nice. You're too available. You're too kind. And so it kind of freaks you out until you realize you're being protected. Because they're really going to treat you nice as a friend. They're going to be honest with you as a friend, and they'll come, they'll help you out as a friend. They'll do everything that the boyfriend would have done, but as a friend. And usually what that usually means, if we'll be really adult, is that there's not going to be sex, basically. But then if he's a really good friend, then they'll take care of that too. You know, I'm sure some of you had people that you didn't have a deep emotional connection with, but you in love physical intimacy with. Maybe some of you have, I don't know. But it was just an all-around relationship. It was just a relationship where you didn't have any limits. But you knew this wasn't the one, and they knew you weren't the one. Has anybody here ever had that? You're not talking to, okay, all right, good. So you mentioned anything sexual, adults kind of look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? But we know what I'm talking about. And so, again, a friend is giving you the equivalent of real love, while a special person isn't. The closest you come to what real love represents is to what we call friendship. The closest we come to the illusion of love is what we call special relationships, because that's a bargain. And usually the love is withdrawn if the bargain isn't kept. That's not love. That's a bargain. Okay, and the course calls that specialness. But it is possible to take a special relationship and through the Holy Spirit have it transformed into a real relationship. So but just like everything else, we can't do it without the instructions and applying the instructions. That's all the same. You can have it, but it's not going to come just and say, Holy Spirit, give me a holy relationship. Well, okay, I'm going to give you one. You don't recognize it. You don't see it. and it's scaring you. Why? Because you haven't learned what happens when they show up. You haven't learned what happens to your ego which I explain in this book, exactly what's going to happen and how you're going to react to it and what your ego may try to do. And this is what that's what the whole book is about. But unless you study it, you don't know how to deal with your own prayer being answered. You don't even recognize your prayer has been answered. So then you continue on your path and you become more loving and you become more conscious and you go for peace and you really want peace, and then your mind transforms, and then you meet somebody that's loving and kind and nice and respectful, and you are totally turned on. You're so turned on, you're so turned on by sanity the way you used to be turned on by insanity. And now when you meet an insane person, I don't care how good they look, when you hear how they think, you're turned off. You just go, what? In your mind, you're going, what? You know, and so you listen, and you know that you need to be this person's friend, not their lover, not their romantic partner. And they'll give you the best. I mean, they'll be right there for you. Because you're not getting in a frightening relationship with them, where they have demands and expectations of you. So therefore, they're not going to put you through the stuff that they put their girlfriend, boyfriend, a child through, because you simply don't have that type of specialness with them. So you actually get the better deal. That's what I'm trying to say. You actually get the better deal if you're with a sleep person and they make you a friend, even though they'll still do some projection and blame and all that kind of stuff. But it won't be near as much as it would be if you were D1. And then when you become conscious, you know how to recognize, you go, I'm ready for a relationship, so I'm going to say, I am ready to learn. That's what you say. Of course, they just say, I am ready to learn. And then a relationship will be sent to you that will be best for you, for that person, and that person, based on your level of consciousness and their level of consciousness. And this could be friendship. I'm not just talking about lovers. This could be new friendships or whatever. But the person will be sent who needs you to be who you are. Anybody that comes from God wants you like you are. Somebody that comes from the ego is saying, let's make a few adjustments with you and you'll be good. There's a couple of little things I need to tweak and you'll be good to go. Me and you'll be good to go. You know what I'm saying? He's like, that's the ego. That's the ego. It's always, of course, the ego always wants to make adjustments. It always wants to make adjustments. And so when you study this, you learn that. And then when you meet new people, you'll know within 3 minutes where to put them in terms of the best way for you to relate to each other. Okay. And it could be as simple as going, would you please tell me what your perception of relationships are and what you'd like to experience in a relationship and what do you see the purpose of the relationship as being? First, they'd be shocked because you asked them something instead of telling them something. And then listen. And they're going to give you their best shot, right? Because if they like you, they want to impress you. So they're going to give you their best shot at what they think a relationship is. And if you know what a relationship should be, then when they are telling you, you'll know whether or not this falls into the category of what you should flow with, or this becomes something that you shouldn't go into. But you have to listen. But what happens is that the physical attraction happens, the chemical attraction happens, the person looks the way you like them to look, or they have something that you want. And then the ego immediately starts to justify entering the connection, regardless of how ridiculous it is. You make up a reason. Like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying that, it's like, I think she was like 29, 30, something like that. And she had met somebody, and she was really attracted to him or whatever. But, you know, he was just on the beginner, just beginning to try to open up the truth. She saw herself as being a person that had really been focusing on the truth for quite a bit, you know. And she immediately said, you know, well, you know, I have to teach him. You know, we could, you know, he's open. He's very open to learning something new. Honey, as cute as you are, he would have told you he would have climbed Mount Everest if that was what was necessary. Anyway, but it's always better to kind of like listen to the person and find out more about what they want than, you know. But anyway, that's a whole other problem. But the point that I was making is I know that it won't work. It never works when you enter in a relationship and it's unequal. I don't care how much you think you're doing, you're playing the high road. They're open and I'm going to teach them and they want to learn and I want to teach them and because I'm really attracted to them. The Course says equality is the basis for the miracle. that the miracle comes from being with equals, not from being with people who you think are superior or inferior to you. So the mere fact is he would enter the relationship with the perception of teaching him, which is good motive. I'm not saying it's not, but I just know it won't work because I'm seeing that person as being unequal to me, and they're seeing me as being unequal to them. So that's going to bring up competition, and that's going to bring up the ego. Plus, it gets a power differential that's not very fair either, because you would know what that person's ego is going to do quicker than they would know, and the temptation to become a sorcerer will be very strong. A sorceress. All a sorcerer or sorceress is, or evil or black magic or whatever. They don't like to say black magic. Black folks say white magic, but that's a different thing. But if you learn metaphysical principles and spiritual principles just for your ego, self-aggrandizement, separation, control, and manipulation of others, then you're a black magician, you're a sorcerer. That's all it is. A sorcerer is just somebody who knows the things that we're studying it, and they're using it completely for their ego. And so this phenomenon that's going on of waking up that we experience with so many people doing the secret and all these manifestation stuff, there are two camps that are being born right now. The camp that wants to use this knowledge to wake up to who they really are and bring more love into the world, and the camp that wants to manipulate those laws in order to have power over others, so they think. They don't realize that that's the worst thing you can do with what we're learning, is to give it to your ego, to just further give your ego control over everything and everybody around you, because you're manipulating yourself. And so it's guaranteed to come back to you, but come back to you multiplied through all kinds of people, because it's just you that you're doing it to. So you have a manipulative consciousness, right? And then you attract people with manipulative consciousness. So you end up being surrounded by people who are just as manipulative as you are. So you end up using this stuff to just take yourself further into fear and darkness. So the Course says what you do is you ask yourself, what is it for? What do I want? Why am I doing this? And just get real honest with yourself, you know. And be honest. If you want to meet somebody and the attraction really is, let's say, not of the highest spiritual thought, then don't pretend that that's what it's about so that you can feel okay. When the truth is, there's something else you want. Tell the truth. You know, you would go, all right, this person has a lot of money and I'm attracted to that. That's where your ego is at. And then you ask yourself, well, you know, what do I want? Because the Course says, whenever you're trying to figure out what to do in any situation, the way you do that is you ask yourself, what do I want? And then once you do that, then you know what to give to the other person. So here you are, you're showing up. Then I have to ask myself, what do I want? What would I want to come to me? Well, if I would want manipulation to come to me, then I'd give you manipulation. If I want dishonesty to come to me, I would give you dishonesty. If I want an attack to come to me, then I will attack you. And that's how you take that second to keep from attacking somebody. You go, well, what I want, because whatever I give is what I'm asking for, is the universal law. So this little stuff like that, just taking a second, you'd be amazed, just taking 10 seconds to question like that can make all the difference in the world in your physical experience of the world. But how many people actually do that? Think about it. How many times do you actually do it? How many times do I actually do it? So I'm not making myself any different from any of you. But I forgave God when I realized I wasn't doing what I was being taught. I was blaming the universe for not coming through for me when I was just giving it total lip service and absolutely no real application of any of the ideas. So it was nothing for me, it's nobody for me to blame. When I really took responsibility, God gave me the answer, I asked for the answer, I didn't do it, and now I'm mad. Because I didn't get the result. I bought the recipe book. Where's the damn cake? What? Where's the cake? I'm looking at it. I just read the recipe. 2 cups of flour, some sugar, some milk, some eggs. Where's my friggin' cake? Well, Earl, you didn't actually follow the instructions and put the cake in the oven. What? But you didn't actually do anything, Earl. You just read the recipe book. Oh, well, the cake didn't get made. I go out and buy another recipe book. So that becomes, let's go study this, and let's go study that, and let's go study this. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody, every week is the latest new thought book. It's like, get another recipe book. So we are cake cookers. We're the bakers.
You collate them, all of them, and you don't apply any of them.
We call it a library. Okay. Goes by the code name My Library. You know, full of recipe books. I prided myself in my recipe books. So today, as you go out into the world, you're going to be able to tell who's talking to you today, right? You know that if it's something that is coercive, fearful, negative, attacking, it's not God. Also, you know that as you begin to change, and you all really are changing, that your ego is going to be a little frightened and disoriented sometimes, so don't be freaked out by the resistance that comes up when you're studying. That's a sign that you're actually hearing what you're reading. If you say, I have no resistance to it at all, and it feels very comfortable to me, then you have an ego or a concept of yourself that's more in line with the principles. So it's more important for you to rejoice in them and practice remembering them more. So if you say, like, I study this and it's cool, I don't have a problem with it at all, then I need to work on remembering it more. If I feel resistance, it just means I'm hearing it for the first time. For whatever reason, now I'm hearing what it's saying, and my old self is going, what? So make that okay. Also remember, God said, I'll never attack your ego. So spirit will never get rid of your house, your car, your favorite clothes. It means you can't make a trip to Las Vegas, that you can't go to Hawaii if you want to, that you can't make love if you want to, that you can't get that new dress that you want to. As a matter of fact, the lady who channeled the course, Jesus used to tell her what to buy when she would go to department stores to get clothes. And somebody asked, well, why? And he said, because it saves time. You know, so we can get back to, we can do the real deal. You know what I'm saying? So it's not about us being sacrificing our pleasures and the things that we enjoy doing. As a matter of fact, when you go ahead and let yourself have it, it's less of a distraction. The biggest distraction is you're worrying about it because you don't have it. If I had it, then I could go, oh, okay, I got this pen, now I can be it. So that's your ego that tells you that being on the spiritual path means that you can't have an enjoyment of your physical experience. That's also your ego. The way you undo the ego is to have what you want. The way you undo the ego is to let yourself have what you want peacefully. So I'm undoing my ego more when I buy that car that I want if I can afford it than if I pretend that I shouldn't want the car because I'm spiritual. Or if I feel like I don't have the money to buy the car, so now I'm trying to find out how I can get the car. See, that's a distraction. But it would be much easier for you to just have the car and move on to what you really need to be doing. So again, abundance is our natural state. It makes our spiritual growth easier when we allow ourselves to be happy and to have what we want. So the sacrifice denial thing is not the course path. And the course is not concerned about physical things in the world. It's only concerned about peace of mind. Because that's what I think that stuff is going to give me. If I get that car, I feel better. So why don't I just go straight to feel better? And then get the car out of feeling better. That's the one you can pay for easier. The one that you manifest because you feel good about yourself will be the car that won't give you a hard time. The car you think you're feeling bad about, then when you get the car you think you'll feel good, that's the one that's going to be a challenge. Because you're convincing yourself of something that's not true, that your happiness is outside of yourself. And the universe will never support that premise, so you end up having to take care of the car by yourself. Also take your car and go, I want my car to serve my awakening, I want my house to serve my awakening, I want my flat screen TV to serve my awakening, I want my shoes, I want my clothes, I want, you know, let everything in your life serve the purpose of your awakening, then nothing in your life will be out of accord with your purpose. And so that means everything you have will start to work toward giving you your enlightenment. Don't see your material reality separate from your spiritual reality. Say, I want everything in my material reality to be used for my spiritual awakening. And then now you've taken it into the divine order. Makes things easier. The funny thing, too, is that when you start to wake up, you're probably going to want to find, you're going to find yourself wanting to get rid of things instead of wanting to accumulate. Because you're going to like the freedom of not having to keep up with all this stuff. You know? All of a sudden you go, wait a minute. I want to take a trip, but I'm too worried about my house. So do I own my house, or does my house own me? I got this brand new car. I'm afraid somebody's going to nick it. Well, Do I own this car, or do this car own me? See? So if you're worried about it, then it owns you. It's an idol. So I know my idols. Do you know yours? It's the things in my apartment or the things in my life that I would not have peace if I lost them. Those are my idols. So I know. You do too. You'd be surprised. It's going to make you an idolist. It'd give you a whole new meaning of the term American Idol. It'd be a whole different thing. We'll do the love offering so we can head back out into the lab and we get endless opportunities to practice this beautiful stuff. And we got some people out there waiting to give us an opportunity. Yeah, they're in the line. I can't wait to give you, Earl, an opportunity to see. And I really appreciate y'all's generosity. Like I said, I do the course full time, and I believe I deserve it. And I believe you do too. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.